The 10 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch begins now. I'm going to pivot to some Packers conversation, although it's going to be kind of Rams 49ers conversation. Did you get to see any of the game along with your free shipping from Amazon last night, Tausch?
I did see the overtime. And I have to admit, I'm not always right. I had fought years about overtime, and I still believe that the NFL overtime is 100 times better than college, and you'll never sway me on that.
Okay,
I've always thought that overtime, stopping defense is a big part of football. Still is. I don't think they should have ever switched the scoring a touchdown rule. If you give up a touchdown, you deserve to lose. I'll stand by that. I think it was crazy. But the drama and the strategy that is now being asked of coaches and players in a 10-minute overtime is phenomenal. Overtime, the NFL fixed something. They did it well. They have gotten this right.
Wow.
Because last night, well, I've always said the kicking a 60-yard field goal shouldn't be enough. I have come around on that, but I always thought you still need to make a stop. If you can't stop somebody from scoring a tutter, you don't deserve to win.
And your counterpoint when someone would say, but the team that gets the ball first doesn't have to make a stop, was what?
Go boo in a bar. Like your defense is a big part of the game. Okay. You should give up a touchdown on less than 15% of drives. If you can't do it, hey, cry about it. Sucks. Get your defense better. Kicking a long field goal, I get.
Okay.
In this case, what we saw both in the Packer-Cowboy game and last night, for everybody that thought the coin toss is so important, the coin toss is, and now you want to go second because you have a much bigger advantage. Now, do you have a bigger advantage when it's fourth and one and you get the ball shoved down your throat and you go running off the field? San Francisco had no business winning that game. I give them a ton of credit. They did. But Sean McVay and Kyron Williams, they just didn't get it done. But the overtime rule, I hate to say it, the NFL has – they have fixed the problem in a great way, and it is now the gold standard of overtime rules.
Wow.
The NFL has.
Thank you. For.
What?
Well, not everyone can admit when they were wrong. And you just did.
Okay.
Can I disagree?
You certainly may. Actually, I'd prefer it.
I think we're going to see a lot more ties now, like the Packers game the other day.
Yeah, tough luck. Go boo in a bar. Like you have options to not
so
tie.
You
have a bunch of options to not tie.
You, who are so anti-soccer, in one reason because there are so many ties, and it's like you watch, you invested all this, and then you end up just drawing at the end, and it achieves nothing. You want more ties in the NFL because shortening the overtime to 10 minutes and then allowing both teams to have a full possession no matter what type of score you have.
I think there's been 30 ties in 25 years. So
they changed the rules. That's the point. Like, there's going to be more now. You're seeing it more regularly. Like, there was like one when I was a kid. It was
one tie all season.
In 4 weeks, and there was almost another one last night if the Rams weren't stupid and went for it.
Almost. Almost doesn't count in the football. Well, it doesn't.
But it does in horseshoes.
I think.
And Coob.
I think
so
Matt
wait,
LaFleur.
Jesse, here's the deal. Here's the deal. I was a staunch advocate that football is meant to be played with great special teams, defense, and offense. It can't just be about one. Everybody cried and whined and was totally lame about it. And, okay, they switched it where you got – if you gave up a touchdown, I thought that was really good. But when you can frame it and have to look at it really strategically and now have to start wondering the team – and we haven't seen a ton of this – where if a team goes down and scores a touchdown, if Dallas had scored a touchdown Sunday – Green Bay would have had to have scored a touchdown.
Correct.
And I think they would have. Had they not kicked the field, I think they would have scored a touchdown.
Okay.
And then the question is, you got the stones to go for two. You have to go for two because then you give the ball back and Aubrey can go kick a field goal. And you lose. And that was always my point. Well, you still have to make a stop. Well, you don't because you can go for two. And that was where I wish that would have happened because then you're really starting to see the strategy part of this I love. And now overtime is strategery city, as George W. Bush used to say. It is now strategery city. And I how do you not love that? You have to. So I have to admit that when you can – it isn't, oh, line up at the 25 and oh, see if you can score. College football needs to change to the NFL rules. That's what needs
even
to happen.
Even if it means more
Penn
ties.
Penn State, Oregon should have been that way. With less secure kicking, college overtime, I do declare two things are going to happen in the next 5 years. When college football goes completely to the professional model – with salary caps and with all of that and with different however it's going to shake out. They will incorporate the overtime rules as well. And also, you're going to see the field goal posts this offseason narrowed. Those are two things.
Ooh.
I think you're going to see in the next 5 years.
My interest has peaked on that, but I want to... So here's the issue that I have with all this argument about the overtime. It's not an issue with the actual concept. So then, because of where the clock was at, that it was going to be the last play of the game, do you agree with Matt LaFleur kicking the field goal to salvage a tie?
Absolutely.
Or do you... Okay. Yeah. Under what circumstances... would you have wanted him, even though the Cowboys kicked a field goal, would you want him to go for the touchdown? Like fourth and goal
if
from
the
four?
If it's week 17 and you need a win to get in.
Okay. But otherwise, it's okay to play it safe there. Because I think there's a lot of folks, I saw it on my timeline this morning because I did not see the end of the game. I actually went to bed for a change. There are a lot of people that were saying, well, why didn't Matt LaFleur do this? I admire the fact that Sean McVay went for the win. Because that's what
they were going to go down and get beat. There's 4 minutes left on the clock yet, and San Fran had talents. If he kicks the field goal, that he knows he's going to get beat. That's why he did it.
Again.
Because he was trying to be some hero. If it was fourth and five, he probably kicks it. Fourth, it probably would have gotten it because Stafford was on fire last night. Fourth and one. The reason he did it, he didn't want to give the ball back. Like, let's not try to act like McVay's some hero. Boy, so the question I have is, if Dallas scored a tutter and Green Bay scores a touchdown with 3 minutes left, do they kick the extra point and give the ball back to Dallas?
And what would you do if you were Matt?
No, I'm asking you. What do they do?
I think they, with Matt LaFleur as the head coach, they kick the extra point.
Yeah, well, that's
point,
who's coaching them.
And then...
coaching the team.
Well, I know, but I thought maybe you were coaching the team in this hypothetical.
I was coaching the Brewers last segment, so
you just were managing them. Yeah, you and Pat Murphy together, co-managers. So Matt LaFleur kicks the extra point
with 3 minutes left. No, he doesn't. Well, the real question is, if there's 15 seconds left and you score, then do you kick the extra point or go for two? You, at that point, if there's 3 minutes left and they're already filling their britches about Aubrey kicking a game-winning field goal, you think he's going to kick off with our special teams and give them a chance to go win with a field goal? No, he wouldn't. That's crazy town. With 15 seconds left, you have to think, all right, if I get the two, we win. If we don't, we lose. I think he goes for two in both cases. If you decide to take the ball second in overtime in the NFL, and the other team scores, you are committing to going for two. Otherwise, don't do it. Unless you need a tie to get in the playoffs. Any other reason, you go for it. And in the case of LaFleur, if there's 15 seconds left, that's when you got to show your stones. Because they're not going to get a field goal in 15 seconds, I don't think. Although Aubrey, I mean, the guy can kick from 80 yards. That's when you got to figure out where your stonage is at. 3 minutes, no.
Figure
you don't
out
give the
where
ball
your
back.
Stonage is at.
You don't give the ball back to the opposing team. And that's why the more I've started to see this thing and think it through, I'm giving Roger Goodell and their rules team a ton of love for getting it right. College is going to incorporate this, and I think everybody's going to be happy about it.
We'll continue some more Packers conversation for those of you that were not enjoying our Brewers discussion. But before we can do anything, Tausch needs to tell us about Hard Rock Casino Rockford.
Hard Rock Casino Rockford. Who's favored down there, Jesse? Brewers or Cubs?
The Brewers are favored in the series.
All right. Well, head on down there to have some fun. Watch the game. They're great entertainment space. 1,300 slot machines. 50 live table games, a sports book, and a rock shop. They also have the Hard Rock Live Entertainment Venue. 23,000 square feet. Premium concert and event space. Terry Bradshaw has been down there. I just saw Dolly's not doing great. She had to cancel one of her shows. I don't think she's scheduled yet up for Hard Rock Casino Rockford, but boy, if she did, I'd be there. And you could go down LED screens and experience up to 2,000 guests down at the Hard Rock Live Entertainment Venue. Hard Rock Casino Rockford, a premier entertainment destination just off of I-90 in Rockford, Illinois, about an hour from the greater Madison location.
More Wildy and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
A little bit of bad news for former Badgers running back Braylon Allen. The injury he suffered in the Monday night game with the Dolphins. He will miss 8 to 12 weeks. That's not good. Surgery still on the table per rap sheet, so we wish him a get well soon. But that is from Jets coach Aaron Glenn. All right, let's get to a call here, and I feel like it's been a while since we heard from Jim on the South Side. He's been busy, I guess. Jim, good morning. How are you today?
I'm doing fine, and thanks for taking my call today.
Well, thanks
for calling. You guys have been talking a lot recently about the Packers' youth, and there's been questions about the youth. But I listened to Brian Bulaga, Iowa, on Homer the other day, and I listened to you, Jason, this morning saying that the Packers' youth has experience, but I'm wondering if they're lacking leaders. You know, Bulaga said they needed somebody to hustle them up to the line in the last end of that game on Monday night or Sunday night, and it just seems to me that we don't have guys to kind of shake people up and get them motivated to produce.
I'm intrigued by this theory. So for those that did not hear me with Gabe and Josh DiMaggio, Big Cat, on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning, you know, there was a lot of talk. I don't know how we got on the subject because it was mostly Brewers, but they were nice enough to interrupt their Brewers conversation to let me discuss the Packers with them. But the idea that, oh, they're still a young team, they're still a young team. And no less authority than Brian J. Gutekunst himself has said, they may be still young, but they're not inexperienced. And I'm especially talking about the 2022 and 2023 draft classes, right? I mean, Tausch, do you think of Tucker Kraft as inexperienced? Do you think of any of those three offensive linemen, Zach Tom, Sean Ryan, Shido, Romeo Doubs, do you think of them as inexperienced young guys anymore?
No.
You shouldn't, right?
No.
You know, the 2024 draft class, you know, those guys were rookies last year. Obviously, this year's draft class is rookies. But I think what Goody's point was is that you live through the growing pains so they can become fully formed NFL players, and then you expect them to perform like that. They may still be young, but they got that experience, right? You got experience right away. There are other players that sat for a year or two, not just quarterbacks either, right? Guys that they couldn't crack the lineup, whoever they had in front of them. You know, Jordan Morgan has kind of gone through that, and injuries have been the only thing that's got him in the lineup this year. So I don't think we should make the excuse or the explanation, if you prefer, that the Packers, well, they still make youthful mistakes. I think that was the point that both Blue and I were making independently of each other. What say you?
It's leadership isn't an age thing. The experience that you gain is what matters, and then how you pass that experience on to the younger players in your practice habits and how you go about your business. But as far as, you know, offensively trying to figure out who the leader is, and you know, really I think what Jim is asking is, at the end of that game, how did we let that happen with a quarterback that's in his third year as a starter and with a coach at his seventh year as a coach? And those are fair questions to ask. What you would have hoped to have happen there is Jordan Love fully comprehending what was going on, and then going out and executing and knowing the plan. If this happens, I do this. If this happens, I do that. And if you want to say, well, Elgton Jenkins should have sped things up because the center runs the huddle. The center will set the huddle. The quarterback runs the huddle. That's how this has always worked. And if you know, Elgton is probably the most experienced guy in that offense. As a matter of fact, I'm almost positive he is. There are question marks about, well, what could they have done different? I've went back to the entire time that it was that one play that threw the whole thing off, and then not understanding how it was going to work. I think Jordan has done a really good job in the past on getting guys up to the line and doing things. Now, decision-making always hasn't been the best when it comes to, you know, throwing a ball right before the half in L.A. and then doing what he did in Cleveland, and then obviously the Charlie check down this week. But I don't think this team has a leadership problem. I don't think that at all. I think what happened was you played a bad game against the Cleveland Browns, and then last week it was just an uncharacteristic deal, and the circumstances were very unique to an NFL game, and the Green Bay Packers hadn't went through that and didn't handle it in a very good way.
Yeah, and thanks for the call, Jim.
Jason,
we appreciate it.
Is Jordan Love a good leader? Is Jordan Love a good leader?
Yeah, yes. Again, as I've said many times, I would like him to be my quarterback because he's not a jerk in his leadership style. Now, you have said, and the NFL is not a place for sensitive Sallies like me, but there are times when you have to chew a guy out, whether that is good for them and that's the way they prefer to be admonished or not. But I would say that Jordan Love's connectivity with his teammates is really, really good. And I think that's an important piece to being a really effective leader. Now, in that moment, and it's not just his fault, it's not just Matt LaFleur's fault, it's not just Elgton Jenkins' fault, it's everybody's fault. But I was baffled by how nonchalant they were. I don't understand. I just don't for the life of me understand how that happened. I just don't. And I learned today from Gabe, who connected through a third party with an NFL official, who said that when the shot clock, if you will, is dark, that the coach is able to communicate in the quarterback's headset throughout. So I can't imagine Matt LaFleur wasn't saying, all right, Jordan, we got to go, let's go, come on, we got to go, hurry up, we got to go, clock's ticking, we got to go. And they still all seem to take their sweet time. So that will continue to baffle me. A slow-motion car crash, as he put it. He's exactly right. It was a train wreck. It was terrible. But there's a lot of blame that goes around for that. And I think this is why the leadership and the youth question came up is, how did someone not take the bull by the horns and say, let's go here? What are we doing? That's what I don't get. 844-770-3776. If you have other Packers questions that you would like us to address so we don't talk Brewers, I'm still a little bit... it's nice to see Noah in the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube comments. Packers talk on a bye week. Come on! Let's talk Brewers. They're in the NLDS.
Can't make anyone happy around here.
No, you definitely can't. Neither can I. But UW Credit Union and Tausch made everybody at AmFam Field happy, spreading the positive vibes in advance of the playoffs.
Great partner of the Milwaukee Brewers and of Wildy and Tausch, and for every stage of life, UW Credit Union is here forever. You proudly serving Wisconsin for over 90 years. They're going to help you reach your financial goals, and it's simple. They keep your banking local, they have great member-first service, and they have great perks. Like early payday, but also got Bucky. 85 years young. I just saw Bucky turned.
Birthday yesterday,
Bucky
yeah.
At the GPO. Bucky, you know, how do you say no to that pretty little face? If you love Wisconsin like I do, you just can't pay with anything else. Fan will make us do crazy things. This just makes sense. Become a UW Credit Union member today and get your Bucky card like I did. Federally insured by NCUA. Terms and conditions do apply.
Lots of Packers thoughts, but we do need to do this even though we don't have a traditional Friday show. Jesse loves it when we do this. Sometimes he has very limited choices. Today he has lots of them. The weekend preview, presented by Coors Light, is next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Like I told you, it's a Packers bye week, so you won't have them on your scheduling docket. You do have Brewers Cubs on Saturday. But what are you going to watch during the weekend preview?
Lots to choose from this weekend. Again, the rules for the weekend preview, we do not include the Wisconsin sports team. So the Brewers game not included on here, the Wisconsin Badgers game not included on here. Weekend preview, I'm going to give you a whole list of games going on. You pick the one that you find to be the most compelling that you want to tune into.
Jesse, you going to watch the Badger game tomorrow?
Yes. I am hosting the pregame show on ESPN Wisconsin. I will be watching at least until halftime. Once the Brewers game starts at 1, no promises.
I will definitely have it on. And I will be syncing up my Varsity app so I can hear you and Matthew LePay on the call. It is really easy to do, by the way. If that's something you're interested in, the instructions are simple. Pause your TV if you've got the DVR-style box or if you're watching on whatever your streaming service is. Sync up the audio on the Varsity app, and then boom, you're good to go. You get old T and Matty LePay.
Let's go.
Instead of whoever they've got.
Shock the world. Let's shock the world tomorrow.
Yeah, let's. I don't think that's going to happen.
I might go boo in a bar, and then they could have that on one TV, and then the Brewers game on another TV, and we'll be happy.
Can I just say that Barry Alvarez, God bless him, between. Who the hell gives a blank about what's wrong? And go boo in a bar.
Go boo in a bar.
It's an incredible gift. He just is.
So all these games.
Go boo in a bar.
You can choose the boo in a bar for all these games. This is the SEC on CBS. The SEC on ABC big game tomorrow. Everyone in the world can get behind 16th-ranked Vanderbilt.
Yeah, let's go!
Commodores are undefeated, and they take on 10th-ranked Alabama in Tuscaloosa tomorrow. Vandy won it last year. Remember that one in Nashville? They carried the goalpost all the way over to the river.
Their coach is the real deal, isn't he?
Their quarterback is really good. Their coach is, yeah, Vanderbilt. Fun squad. 2:30 on ABC tomorrow afternoon. The nightcap on ABC. Number 3, Miami. Number 18, Florida State at 6:30 on ABC and the ESPN app. Minnesota and number 1, Ohio State. That's your Saturday night Big Ten game on NBC at 6:30. Then on Sunday, we've got another Europe game. Vikings-Browns in London.
Let's go.
Vikings, the first team besides the Jacksonville Jaguars last year to play back-to-back games in Europe. They are the first team ever to play back-to-back games in Europe in two different countries.
Did they use Colette Travel for that or not?
They were smart, they did. I'll have to ask Kevin Seifert.
I heard they went to Edinburgh this week because they're getting ready for it.
Edinburgh.
Yeah, I'm gonna need to pronounce that correctly moving forward. There's no doubt about it. I am curious. I should text Kevin Seifert. So you cover the Vikings. That's his job for the ESPN. He's the Rob Domofsky of the Twin Cities. So did he's been in Europe now for like 9 days. You don't come home and then go back, right?
Kind of a 2-week trip to Europe. Yeah.
Could have gone with Colette.
Kind of nice.
All right, sorry, go ahead.
So Vikings-Browns, 8:30 Sunday morning on the NFL Network. Your Sunday noon games, Broncos-Eagles at noon with Nance and Romo on CBS. Cowboys-Jets is the best we could do Sunday at noon on Fox. 3:25 Lions-Bengals, the game we'll get in Wisconsin, as opposed to much of the country getting Burkhart and Brady calling Commanders-Chargers. We get Lions-Bengals on Sunday afternoon. And then your Sunday night game, Patriots-Bills, rounds out your football weekend. Tausch, any of those stand out to you?
Yeah, Eagles-Broncos. I think that has a chance to be a Super Bowl matchup. And I think that both those teams are going to position themselves to be in that mix. So, yeah, I'm very intrigued by that one. As far as all the other games, seems like it'd be a good apple orchard weekend.
I agree.
Not a ton of juice.
Not the best slate of football games.
No, obviously last weekend was just littered with great games. This weekend, obviously with Green Bay not playing, it's going to be all Brewers all the time, especially for Saturday, and then we'll get prepped for Monday. But, yeah, Eagles and Broncos, no-brainer to me. That's the game I want to watch.
Jesse, you didn't put any of the other baseball games on. All four series get underway tomorrow, correct?
Saturday, yep, all four games.
That's tomorrow, right?
Yes. So we've got Yankees, Blue Jays, Dodgers, Phillies, of course, and then Tigers, Mariners, your divisional round series. All start on Saturday.
If you could get your desired matchup in the World Series, it would be the Brewers versus whom?
Yankees.
No.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm on board with that.
Why?
David and Goliath.
And that billet bat, that whole billet bat deal.
Like torpedo bat.
I love the synergy of the whole thing. I love how it all comes back around in this full circle.
Bookend the season. I want the entire world cheering for the Brewers winning it for Uke. Best way to do that is not to play the Big Dumper or the Tigers or the Blue Jays.
Yeah, you want to have eyeballs. Yep, I agree with Jesse. It's all Yankees all the time now. Even though I wanted him to lose to Boston, now
I can't root for the Yankees in any. I just can't do it.
Fans of other teams, I know this for a fact. Fans of other teams want Brewers Mariners.
Yeah, I'm in that crowd. That's who I was going to say.
That way, one of those teams is guaranteed to win their first.
Yes,
you got a little bit of history between.
You're
the
making
cities.
My argument for me. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. We ain't gonna give two rips if we don't win the World Series. We don't care who else wins.
No, I'm saying, like, my friend is a Braves fan. He said, I'm pulling for a Brewers-Mariners World Series. He wants two teams who've never done it.
I'm saying from our end, like the Brewers, if they don't win it,
there's
I
no
don't
solace
give a
in
the
losing right. to this no. to the Mariners.
Exactly.
I get it.
Yeah.
No.
I understand.
Oh, that's great. You know what? We just got our hearts ripped up, but the Mariners get to celebrate.
The team that left Seattle against the team that's in Seattle.
I want to beat the Cubs, the Dodgers, and the Yankees to go win the World Series.
Cubs, Dodgers, Mariners.
Yeah, I'm on board with that plan. I like all of it. Like the whole thing.
Bring the juggernauts. Bring the national brands. Let's take them all down.
The national brands. Okay. I want the big dumper in the World Series. By the way, Gabe Neitzel, and we're done with the weekend preview. Gabe Neitzel recommended to me the William Contreras piece on the Players Tribune. He was right. It's really good. It's well worth your time. It's not that long either. It's very manageable. Shorter than most of my stories at channel3000.com. All right, time for trivia. Jesse, we've talked a lot of Brewers. We did placate our Packers fans in the YouTube chat dwellings. What's the category? What color do you want?
Today's trivia category, great moments in Brewers-Cubs history as we get set for game one of the NLDS tomorrow.
All right. Caller? Did you just say the caller?
I did not. Okay. Let's do caller five. Best of five.
Best of five. Got to win game one, though. It's all about game one. Caller five right now, 844-770-3776. 844-770-3776. Caller five plays trivia after Tausch tells us about his love of Coors Light.
Indeed, and whether you're tailgating pregame before a 1 o'clock, an 8 o'clock, a 4 o'clock game down at AmFam Field, it's always got to be Coors Light in your hand. As Jesse likes to give one up for Uke, crack open that Rocky Mountain cold Coors Light, brewed with that three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and cold packaged, so it is made to chill. Refreshingly cold and only 102 calories, Coors Light is made to chill. Sub responsibly. Coors Brewing Company at Golden, Colorado.
Well,
I hope
next.
The Rockies win a world championship if we don't. Says no one.
Well, they're not even in the playoffs.
I know.
They're really bad.
Yeah.
Our Oakland A's bad. It's hard to believe that the Brewers didn't disband after they got swept in that series in June last year.
Why are you saying this? Like, if we lose in the playoffs, yes, it doesn't really matter who goes on to win it. We'll be upset.
Okay.
If the Brewers don't make the playoffs, don't we usually like pick a team to pull for? Like, that's not an abnormal thing for a sports fan to do.
No. If the Brewers lose the series to the Cubs, are you rooting for the Mariners?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
That's not what that wasn't that you guys just changed. You guys, like the NFL is going to do, you just moved the goalposts. You just moved it.
Well, they're not moving them. You said that they're going to shrink them.
Shrink
they're
the goalposts.
Yeah, I wonder how much they're going to move it in. Yeah, they're definitely going to move the goalposts in. And they should.
All right. As much as I'd love to debate this, I would like to see Brewers Mariners. I'm not saying that because I want the Mariners to win the World Series. I just don't like the Yankees. I don't like Yankees fans. I can't do it. Don't enjoy it. Rich Bisacci, a big Yankees fan.
Who's Paul Molitor going to root for if it's Blue Jays Brewers?
I haven't seen him do it just a bit outside to the Toronto Blue
North
Jays
of the
edition. Where Joe Carter wins it with a home
run.
Wasn't
he the MVP and World Series champion there?
I believe so, yeah. He also played for the Twins.
So I think it's a fair question.
I didn't say it wasn't a fair question. I just am saying that
you kind of did. You said he wasn't in a movie or something.
Right, but he talks about the Brewers winning a World Series someday in just a bit outside.
Yeah, but he won a World Series in Toronto.
I agree with you. He did win a World Series in Toronto. I agree. You're right. Trivia's next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com. But I won't cry for yesterday. There's an ordinary world. Somehow I have to find. And
Cubs tomorrow. Packers on their bye week. Sometimes we miss a day, but we never take a bye. From Wildy and Tausch Trivia, presented by Cousin Subs.
Wildy and Tausch Trivia is presented by Cousin Subs. Crispy chicken tenders are now available at Cousin Subs. Order today in-store at CousinSubs.com or with the Cousins app. Cousin Subs, we believe in better.
Hey, that dude that struck out 12 last night for the Yankees to make that game a 1 o'clock game tomorrow for the Brewers and Cubs, he's a rookie?
Schlitter.
Well, that's got to be a dangerous name for the team at ESPN New York.
Does he throw a splitter?
I don't know.
Splitter throws quite the... I'm not even going to risk it.
If we had a Yankees-Reds World Series, we would have had a potential pitching matchup of Schlitter versus Ashcraft.
That would have been something. All right, let's play trivia. Let's welcome in our contestants in a much less dangerous place to pronounce, Sun Prairie, Wisconsin. It is John, who is a first-time contestant. Hi, John. Welcome in. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Morning.
Long-time caller, first-time picked, or just started trying for trivia?
Long-time listener, called a couple of times, but in the car today, and I thought, hey, I'll give it a call, and got through, and here I am. So,
all right, well, we wish you good luck as a first-time contestant, or as Tausch would say.
John, are you nervous?
Good luck.
Are you nervous about this Brewers-Cubs matchup?
Well, yeah, a little bit. You know, it could go... You just don't know which way it can go. If the young guys for the Brewers can keep continuing what they're doing, which is playing, you know, smart baseball, they got a good chance. But you never know. So we'll find out here starting tomorrow.
Let's go.
There's a Jason Wildeism if I've ever heard one. Well, we'll find out starting tomorrow.
I do have a question, though, and I didn't realize this. What's wrong with Woodruff?
They haven't announced what they're doing yet, right? Have they announced Woody? It doesn't seem as if he's going to be available, judging by all of the leakage and the kind of the conversation. But I think, is it his shoulder, J-Dub? I don't think we know for sure.
It is a right lat strain.
Lat. Okay.
Doing a lot of lats. All right, let's get to trivia. John, question one. Are you participating in this at all, Tausch, or am I doing all three?
You got it. Take it on. I'll help John.
Saving the voice for the big house.
Yeah, exactly. Question one, John, is this. Which legendary Brewers pitcher tossed a complete game on the final day of the 2008 season, helping the Brewers secure a win over the Chicago Cubs and the franchise's first playoff appearance since 1982, and later had his pants stolen? Is it C.C. Sabathia, Ben Sheets, or Valerio De Los Santos?
I gotta go with C.C.
C.C. Indeed, one for one. Question two. The Brewers won their first NL Central Division title ever in 2011, thanks to a win over the Florida Marlins and a Chicago Cubs win over which other NL Central team? Did the Cubbies beat the Cincinnati Reds, the Pittsburgh Pirates, or the St. Louis Cardinals?
I would have to go with St. Louis Cardinals.
You are two for two, good sir. Question three.
Rolling.
Hopefully the Brewers will be up 2-0 after two as well. Also the starter for Game 7 of the NLCS against the Dodgers, which Brewers pitcher retired 11 of the first 12 batters he faced and gave up just one hit in 5 2/3 innings starting game number 163 at Wrigley Field at the end of the 2018 season? Was that pitcher Chase Anderson, Wade Miley, or Yolis Chacin?
Oh, boy, that's a tough one. I'm going to go with Wade Miley.
What? Where is Yolis Chacin now? Because he was, I'm not saying he was CC Sabathia, but there was Yolis Chacin Mania in 2018, yeah, right? Am I misremembering
name to say,
that?
Hard name to spell. That's why.
Very.
It's J-H, not a, right?
It's not a. It's a challenging. J H O U L Y S C H A C I N. Yeah, I don't. I don't. He's apparently. Last time he pitched was in 2022 for the Colorado Rockies.
He dissipated quickly after that 2018 season.
But he was really good.
He pitched game 163 and game 7 of the NLCS. Maybe he shouldn't have pitched game 7 of the NLCS, but he did.
Yeah.
But he was great in 163.
Yeah, he also is not the correct answer to question 3. So, John, you got 2 out of 3. That means you get 3 out of the 4 possible entries into our drawing coming up a little bit later in the program. Thanks, buddy. Welcome to the trivia crew.
Sounds good. Go Brewers, and love you guys.
I love you guys.
Let's go. That's a good way to start the 11 o'clock hour, I think.
And we will do exactly that in 2 minutes, so stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.